This is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for March 19th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. Welcome back to The Boop Show, Thursday edition of The Boop Show, starting a little bit late. It's later than I had anticipated to do the show today. It's like 7:30 at night. I've had a lot going on. Like, for example, I signed a contract and have all the details in place to do something this weekend that you might want to know about. If you don't, then I'll try to be quick. But this weekend, at twitch.tv/NVIDIA, I will be part of the official NVIDIA lineup and doing a three-hour block between 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. That's 4 to 7 for people in the time zone I'm in. It's called Experience Points, and it's a three-hour block of programming that'll include some news, some commentary, mostly talking about PC games, indie stuff, playing a bunch of games with friends and alone. Just a good time. So if you want to come out, hang out with me tomorrow, not tomorrow, Saturday, sorry, 2 days from now, you can do that. Go to twitch.tv/NVIDIA. There's a big Frog Pants post on the news part of the website as well if you want to get more details. Very much looking forward to it. Okay, look. Heroes, that's what I've been playing. Okay, fine. I know, you're sitting there saying, Scott, we're sick of hearing about it. We know. We know. Look, I know. I know that it's a lot. But I'm really enjoying it. And I will not stop until Thrall has all of his skins. And all of his tints. None of this will make sense if you haven't played. Yeah, that game's great. And I want to keep playing it all the time. I haven't had any time today to play, though, so I'm kind of out of it. But up next, up to bat, pinch hitting after Heroes of the Storm, Ori and the, what is it? The Wet Forest. What is it? Ori and the Wet Monkey Forest. That Ori game is next for me, I think. So hope to fire that up this weekend and give that a little bit of time because, I've heard nothing but good things. Everybody I talked to, early game of year contender. That's high praise. So yeah, expect some sort of, not full review, but some sort of thoughts this coming Monday as we get closer to that time. Nintendo's shares have skyrocketed after a long national, international, Japanese nightmare. A long time since people could say that Nintendo's shares have skyrocketed. Well, they've done just that after their big smartphone news that I'm sure you've all heard by now. The mobile news. This is Nintendo and another big company joining hands like lovers in the night, consummating their relationship and pooping out some mobile kids. This is them and Dina, or DNA. I don't know how you say that. This is probably just DNA, like DNA, right? D-E-N-A, get it? They make mobile games, and both companies' shares are skyrocketing at this point. Stock value is up more than 30% on the Tokyo Stock Exchange. And Nintendo shareholders have, for a very long time, been crying, yelling, screaming, begging Nintendo to move into the smartphone and tablet gaming market. And they have, like, resisted. With all haste, they haven't wanted to do it. But yeah, they're getting into it now. The news goes like this, and again, many of you I'm sure have heard this. This broke shortly after this week's earlier show. But they're not planning on simply porting their stuff to smartphones and tablets. You're not just going to get Mario 3D Land. Instead, they're electing to build all new experiences. They say based on its catalog of popular IPs, Mario, Luigi, the rest. Wario, am I gonna win? Am I gonna be on an iPad? Anyway, the first of whatever these games are going to be released this fall, and further details have been a little bit nothing. They haven't said a whole lot. Whether or not any of these games will be just straight up let me purchase them games, are they going to all be like freemium bullcrap? Like, what are they going to do? Nobody knows. There's a lot of snark going on. I prefer to wait and see, but I'm guessing it'll be a mix of things. I'll tell you what, that Captain Toad's Worst Adventure, what's it called? The Wii U game? I haven't bought it. But it's based on the little mini games that are inside of Mario 3D World. What's it called? Toad's Big Adventure? Is that it? Anyway, those kinds of games would be perfecto on a tablet. Like, that's a dead ringer. In fact, more so than I think they were on the Wii U, because the Wii U, you know, relied on a lot of motion control stuff, and I hate that. But letting me pinch and zoom around these puzzle areas, oh, yeah, see, now we're talking. Makes me wonder if that game had any impact on this. It's possible. First details of Nintendo's next system also came out. It's codenamed, at the moment anyway, the NX. The NX, that's right, you heard it. X means it's extreme, like the 90s. Anyway, Nintendo's next generation system is being codenamed the NX, says Chief Executive Saruto Iwata. Satoru, how do you say it? Satoru Iwata. He's the one that always holds the banana. You know the one. He's holding a banana all the time. Anyway, in his words, the console, or whatever it's going to be, represents a brand new concept, but did not elaborate much more. Well, again, the keeping it real real sneaky. That's what they do. And you would, too, if you were them. He explained this at a press conference. Quote, as proof that Nintendo remains strong, Scott, back that truck up. Beep, beep. Here we go again. As proof that Nintendo maintains strong enthusiasm for the dedicated game system business, let me confirm that Nintendo is currently developing a dedicated game platform with a brand new concept under the development codename NX. It is too early to elaborate on the details of the project. We hope to share more information with you next year. Here is a banana. I made up that banana part. So we don't know what that means. I guess E3 next year, maybe? Not this year, but next. Anyway, not really clear what any of this means, and they were short on details. So, like you, I have to wait. Star Wars Battlefront to debut next month. This has all been confirmed, and they've confirmed platforms. EA, Electronic Arts, you know the ones. They're going to be showing it off, I guess, at Star Wars Celebration. That happens in Anaheim, and that is next month in April. This isn't altogether that surprising. I mean, they've been showing it to people behind closed doors for a while now, right? And we knew it was in the works. It's not like that's a big surprise. But anyway, April 16th and 19th, that is when the official announcement will be, and they'll unleash all the details. They say, we could not think of a better or more appropriate place to debut the game officially for its first time than the premiere event that celebrates the Star Wars universe and the legions of fans who have fallen in love with it, says EA. So there's a tiny little teaser trailer out. I've seen it. It ain't no big deal. This game has been in development. It's a first-person shooter by DICE of Sweden. Is DICE always from Sweden, or is there a different division of DICE in Sweden? This I don't know. Anyway, this holiday, man, alongside new Star Wars movie, you know, The Force Unawakened, you've heard of it. So, yeah. EA signed that 10-year deal with Disney. They're going to have all that stuff sewn up for a while. And if that game is as good as the last time they made a Battlefront game, then I'm super stoked. If it's full of crap and launched poorly and done with bad EA ideas, then I'm very disappointed. But that hasn't happened yet, so let's give it some time. Pretty excited, though. As you should be. Sony says Bloodborne is of the utmost importance to the PS4. In fact, they've called it invaluable. That's a quote. Invaluable. Well, of course it is, Sony. You haven't released jack first-party stuff this year. Look, you got this great lead. You need to take advantage of it. I mean, their first-party offerings, everything's either delayed or disappointing, right? That car game was disappointing. Can't think of the name. Drive Club? The Drive Club. What's the other one that didn't do well? Jeff came on the show and talked about it. You know the one, that one. I can't think of that game now. Oh, the Order 1886, that one. Yeah, they came out and nobody cared that much. And so that's unfortunate because Sony's has a decent record as a good first party developer, and games coming under as exclusives have been good in the past. Now we have Uncharted delayed, Uncharted 4 delayed till next year. Looking kind of grim. So they're saying, hey, it's important for Bloodborne to do well because that is like their big their big deal this year now at this point. And yeah, I think I'll probably have to play that. I didn't play those other ones. The Soul Edge or Soul Edge. What's it called? Demon Souls or what are the other two? Demon Forge, Monkey Forge. That's it. I didn't play any of them. Okay, so I don't know jack poo about what I'm missing, other than what people tell me. I just know those games scared me off by the way people describe them. But maybe Bloodborne's the business made by the guy who originally made the Demon Souls game. So, or in the first, why can't I think of the second? What's this game called? Something Soul. Souls. Shite. It's been a long day. Kojima, you know Kojima. He is leaving Konami after Metal Gear Solid 5. This has now been confirmed by inside sources. There has been nothing but fallout between Kojima Productions and its owning publisher, Konami. This has led to senior staff at the studio being restricted. They cannot access corporate internet, emails, or phone. What a bunch of babies. Anyway, Hideo Kojima, that's it. He's out. He feels like he doesn't have any control anymore. After this Phantom Pain thing releases, he's gone. We don't know what he's going to do. The source says, after we finish this game, Mr. Kojima and upper management will leave Konami. They say their contract ends in December. Person added, at a team meeting, Mr. Kojima explained the team have to be one and make a good game for fans. Well, I agree. What are you going to do now? You going to go make some other weird game where people sit around going, Snake! Snake! Or, Metal Gear. Like, what are they going to say now? What are they going to do now? What are your weird ideas going to be now, buddy? I'm concerned. League of Legends is not coming to other platforms, Riot says. That's it. No more talk of this console business. They confirm they have no plans. They have no plans, but also no plans to develop League of Legends for any platforms outside Mac and PC, which is where the game is currently played. Quote, today's announcement mentioning League of Legends has generated a lot of speculation in the LOL player community. We'd like to clarify that our focus is on making sure League plays great on Mac and PC. No plans for console, mobile, or other platforms at this time, according to a Riot Games representative who spoke to GameSpot.com. Yeah. So anyway, Tencent, I guess, is a Chinese company that's going to bring League and some other stuff, a game called Crossfire. I don't know what that is. To China, to the Windows store in China. So that's why all this all came from, about, you know, bringing up questions about platforms and whatnot. League is staying put. It knows where its bread is buttered. Why would you change any of that if you knew that, I guess? PlayStation View starts at $50 a month and wants to replace your cable television. This is Sony's announced View service, which will incorporate a bunch of TV channels, live television. And in a couple of cities, it's starting New York, Philadelphia, and Chicago. Those are big cities. Yeah, that's a place. It'll enter other markets later. They haven't said when. And yeah, they do claim they want to be quick about it. According to Sony Entertainment Vice President Eric Lempel says, we want to get a lot of cities very quickly. This is the most complex thing we've ever launched since starting the network. Okay. Well, anyway. He calls it a complete TV offering. It's live TV, it's catch-up TV, it's DVR in the cloud. It gives our users everything we think they want. Well, hopefully what you think they want is what they want. Yeah, Microsoft's plan is that Sling TV deal, which seems pretty good. That's only $20 a month. PlayStation View will run $50 to $70, depending on the bundle. They claim they don't believe they're competing with Netflix or Hulu or any of those. They think they're competing with cable providers like Comcast. I would say don't make this thing priced so close to what it already costs people for the same offering with cable, or else they'll just keep their cable. They have no reason to jump Sony. I'm a little weirded out by the price point. Maybe they don't have a choice. Maybe these deals they struck, it's just so restricting. They're like, well, we can't go lower than that. So maybe that's... this requires its own show, this conversation. But I don't understand. $50, $60, $70, that's about what you're going to get a good cable package for. Roughly. Not counting internet connection, which you're going to have to pay for anyway to get to your PlayStation. So now you're probably not going to get as good as HD as you would have with over the air or over the cable. and you're going to be paying about the same amount. And what's the advantage? You're just giving the finger to your cable company, I guess. I think it needs to be more than that. I think the Sling option sounds more along the lines of what cord cutters want. If I'm just looking at price point. Yeah, I don't know. That's a weird deal. Five Nights at Freddy's creator donated $250,000 to St. Jude's Hospital. Dude's making bank. Over the weekend, Scott Cawthon, creator of the Five Nights at Freddy's series, 33 of those. Third one didn't get, people don't like three. Three is being lambasted currently. But anyway, he donated $249,000, $249,999. A lot of nines in there. To St. Jude's Children's Hospital fundraising marathon by Twitch streamer Daco. Stream is part of a live partnership between the video game service Twitch and St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And yeah, that's a lot of money. That's a really kind, generous thing to do. I think that's really awesome. So, I don't know who this streamer is. Who is this streamer? This is Daco. I don't know Daco. Should I know that guy? I feel like that guy's for the kids. Let's take a look. Daco. Does he have a Twitter account? Let's see how many followers he has. Look, only like 3,000 followers is all. Huh. How about YouTube? How many?
What is going on, guys?
Oh, hello.
You see this face?
You're wearing makeup on your face. All right, well, whatever. It is the generation. It is the year. It is the decade of 19-year-olds taking over video on YouTube and destroying the world. I mean, I don't mean that in a negative way, or do I? All right, we have emails and calls. Let's start with calls, which come to us, by the way, at 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462, or as attachments to boopshow@gmail.com. It's also where the emails come. Here's a Vita question.
Hey, Scott. This message is for the Boop Show. It's Christian from Phoenix. PlayStation Vita. Tell me why I need to get one. I've been looking at it for a while. Just can't pull the trigger just yet. I haven't seen a 4, so it makes sense to me to get this. Just looking for some advice. Figured I'd ask you later, Boop.
All right. Kind of a hard call to hear, but I get the gist. You want to get a Vita, but you don't know why you should get it. For me, it totally depends on how steeped you are in the Sony ecosystem. For example, I think remote play is great, and I really like that about it, but you need a PS4 or a PS3 for that. Assuming you have that, that's great. If you also think that the idea of buying a game on one and having it be free on the other one is a cool idea, well, then that's pretty awesome too. That sort of dual play nature of it. They call it crossplay. But if I buy a game, whatever game, I can't think of one right now, but you know, a cool indie game or something on the PS4, that same game in many cases is available on the Vita for free. So that kind of two for one mentality works a lot for a lot of people. I also think the machine's just really capable. It looks really nice. The games look really good. There's a lot to play on it. But I do think it kind of hinges on how steeped you are in the Sony ecosystem. And if you are well steeped in it, you should be well served. That is my thinking. And I will stick to that thinking from now on.
Hey, Scott Josh from Ohio, calling for the Boop Show.
Scott Josh.
Hey, you're always talking about how you don't like Destiny. Well, guess what? I don't like Destiny either. I hate that game. I bought it digitally, and I knew the same day that I bought it that I hated it. And so my question is, do you think that they'll ever allow, like, digital trade-ins? All right, thanks for all the content.
No, I do not. That's what that sounded like at the end. I don't think they'll ever do that. Because how is there any money in that for them? I mean, it's all ones and zeros. Gone are the how unscratched is the disc? How many manuals are still left in the case? How many cases aren't falling apart? How hard to get was the game? How rare is it now? Like, all those factors, gone. Poof. When it comes to digital, that stuff no longer applies. You're not actually giving back anything. The inventory, they already have the inventory. You have a replicated copy of it, but you aren't really giving anything back. So there's nothing to trade. I mean, that's the big, dark, grim tale here. Digital's great for convenience and all that, but you don't have anything. You've got some data, and you've got a record that you purchased it, but you don't have anything of value anymore. I mean, you have the value of what you got out of it. Did you enjoy it? Great. Did you have fun? Sure. Was that time on the couch well spent? Probably. But in the end, when you've beat it or you've tired of it or whatever, it ain't, there's nothing there, man. It's not like you know, you're not holding on to some shred of greatness that you can then turn in for some refund money. It doesn't work that way. Now, will they someday incorporate better systems of like, well, I played it for 3 days and I hated it, so I want my money back, and they give you like a bunch of your money back, and maybe not all? Sure. Maybe we were heading towards some of that, but let's say you've had a game for more than 7 days and or whatever their limit will be. Let's say it's a day. There's nothing to trade in. You have nothing. I don't mean you personally. You've got lots of things, I'm sure, but you don't have that. Got an email from Will Stahn, S-T-A-H-N, Stahn, right? Hey, Scott, love the show. I know you love indie games, and I've been playing a great one lately that I've heard, haven't heard you talk about yet. It's called Darkest Dungeon. It's a roguelike survival game with a sinister Cthulhu-esque style. You don't only have to worry about the health of your party members, but their sanity as well. If they are pushed too far, they generate random psychopathologies, there you go, which affect their ability to function in, and the morale of those with them. It is currently in early access and feels like a very finished, polished game. I think you would enjoy giving this one a spin. Thanks for the great content. Keep it up. Boop. Will. Will, I have heard all about it. I've watched a bunch of streams. I've seen people playing it. I've watched reviews and previews and walkthroughs. Not entire walkthroughs, but it does totally seem like a game for me. However, it also seems like a game I have precious little time for right now, and it's one that I'd want to put a bunch of time into. So what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to wait until early access is complete, then pick that thing up. One would presume the game will still be good then. So with the very little room in my library right now, I think I'm going to wait on that. Chad has a whole other idea. He thinks I should be playing, what's that? He didn't put the name here, but it's that Cities game. City Skylines, there it is. Scott, if you enjoy a city builder game, you need to play this, he says in capital letters. The game is great, and the mods and community are insane. If you have access to the VIP on Green Man Gaming, I was able to pick up the digital deluxe version for about $28. Boop, Chad. Well, it's $29, so you saved $1 on Steam. But anyway, doesn't matter. It's still, whatever, $1 saved. You can use that dollar to do lots of things. Like go to patreon.com/frogpants. Anyway, look, that's the next thing after, I think, after or during my time with Ori, I think I'll spend some time in that Cities game. I've never seen so many people raving about it, about a game like this. And I don't think it's just because EA jacked up SimCity so bad that any other good game coming along would, you know, immediately have everyone's praise. I don't think it's as simple as that. I think it's probably just really good. And I like city builders, so I kind of want it. But you know what I crave? I don't crave modern city builders. I don't care about buses and light rail and electricity. I want those old Impressions games. I want Pharaoh. I want Rise of the Middle Kingdom. I want Zeus. I want freaking Caesar 3 again. I want those games, man. Why nobody's making that anymore? Why that's not a thing I can't buy? I don't get it. There has to be a market. I know there's some, well, I know I'd buy it, but there's got to be a bunch of people who would be way into that if you were a good developer. Those guys got dissolved a long time ago, those original dudes. So if Impressions Games did it back then, certainly somebody could step up to the plate and make some rad stuff now. I know they tried with Caesar 4. That didn't work. That wasn't the same team either. And that was like 04. So it's time. It's 10 years after that. Come on now. 11 years, guys. Final email came in from Eric Svirgen. Eric Svirgen. Scott, just thought I'd introduce a point for all the rural gamers out there. He says, I live out in the sticks in Texas, and I've been a serious gamer all my life. Unfortunately, always on connectivity is an issue when the only internet available to me is satellite. While the speeds have improved to the point that they are sufficient to play, the data caps available are ludicrously small and prohibitive. Man, you don't talk like a normal Texan. You got some sweet vocab going. No, sorry, Texas, I apologize. No Heroes of the Storm, WoW, or any games that require dedicated connections for us. The future of gaming seems to be leaving those behind that don't live in a city. Love the show. Boop, Eric. Well, on that somber note, I agree. You know, there is a downside there. It's real easy for somebody in a city, or in my case, in the suburbs where I've got great internet, to go, yeah, no problem. I welcome our weird future with on internet all the time. And you forget that there are places that are, you know, still subject to dial-up in some cases, or satellite in your case, and other crappy things in other cases. One would hope that that would all improve eventually, that we'll get on the stick in this country and, you know, have better infrastructure for that stuff. But, yeah, in the meantime, that does blow. I mean, pretty much the entire, the entire current Blizzard library is unavailable to you. And that makes me really sad, because those games are all good. And they, and sadly, they all require some kind of connection. You know, you could, well, if you have a console, get Ultimate Evil Edition of Diablo 3 for your console. That's really good and does not require a connection. Yeah, I don't know the answer to this, because the movement and momentum is definitely towards connected all the time. That is where we're headed. We're not going back to the old days where a GameCube didn't need an internet connection. It's not going to go that way. So since it only can move the other way, I don't know what the answer is. It's just, this kind of connectivity needs to be a priority regardless of whether it's for video games or education or whatever. So it's a bigger, broader, more political argument, I think, toward what, how to fix all that. But I feel for you, dude. I do. It sucks. And you should be able to play your games how and when you want. All right. Pack up your bags. We're getting the hell out of Dodge here. That's the show. Thank you all for being here. As always, frogpants.com/boop is our website. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. 801-471-0462 for the voicemail line. Please keep those coming. On Twitter, @boopshow. Don't forget this weekend, twitch.tv/NVIDIA. I will be streaming live for the NVIDIA team, playing a lot of games. Hopefully a bunch of friends will join me. Should be a good time. Honestly, it's a bit of a building episode because we don't really know what to expect yet. I'm gonna keep it loose and fast and see what comes of that 3 hours. Pretty jazzed about trying it out, though. So, and I'm really glad they thought of me when they thought of filling that slot. So, yeah, 3 hours, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific time. If you are on the West Coast and everywhere else, do the math, okay? Do the math. Support us at patreon.com/frogpants. And as always, I leave you with music. Music! This is The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. They see me rolling. That's what this is based on or something. I don't know why. But it's a Legend of Zelda remix. I got out of OC Remix. It looked good to me. So I just randomly grabbed it and thought, hey, what the hell? Why not? So I'm going to play it for you now. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new show. Have a great weekend, you guys. Holy crap, this weekend's going to be insane. But I know you'll be having fun. And that's really all I care about. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you then. Taking notes.